You're listening to an Aeon podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Digging Into Gardening, the gardening podcast that offers up all the tips and tricks you need to grow your own little patch of goodness in your own backyard. In this series, we hear from gardening guru Simon Van Roy. Born into a gardening family, Simon was raised in a nursery and has spent his life learning the secrets of gardening success. As an experienced gardener and nursery manager, Simon is eager to pass on his knowledge to help you successfully cultivate your own thriving backyard. In this episode, Simon discusses all things water, water retention, and water techniques. Simon, we all know water is essential to a healthy garden, but what can we do to make it work to its full potential?
Water is life, and that's absolutely true when it comes to a garden. It doesn't matter if you're gardening on a balcony with a small number of pots or whether you've got acres and acres of land in which you plan to make a beautiful botanic gardens. Water will always be one of the most important facets of any gardening journey. It's really important to understand what type of soil you have. Good water retention and good, both efficient and economical use of water starts with the soil type and the ground that you are working with. Different soil types will behave incredibly different depending on the amount of water that is applied. If you live in a very coastal environment with an incredibly sandy soil, you will often find that water retention can be really difficult. The soil will drain very, very freely, and it's why you often see very, very tough, durable plants growing on those coastal banks and on sand dunes. Nature is very, very clever, and you'll often find that by looking around you for what grows naturally in that soil type, you'll start to be able to get ideas of just what the water requirements are of the plants in that area, but also just how much water is present for those plants to draw on. Soil plays a huge factor in not only ensuring that there's enough water, but also making sure that there's not too much. Just as you may live on sand, you may also live on a heavy clay base or a basin, which could stay wet for weeks or months after heavy rainfall. And it's really important to not only explore what the soil type is where you plan to garden, but also how it reacts to those periods of time where you have excessive rainfall or excessive moisture, and when you have a lack of moisture or through dry or drought times, how that soil then reacts. That then plays a huge role in determining what plants are going to grow successfully and how much input you will need to have in order to sustain life within your garden.
If you're talking about the sandy soil that's not retaining that water, does mulch help with that?
Mulch is a big part of that. All about living microorganisms and living bacteria in the soil, which take part in a huge, great big life cycle, which overall creates a more moisture-retaining soil environment. Lots of other techniques, not only mulch, but incorporating composts, manures, general garden soil into a sandy soil are great techniques to specifically bulk your soil out, add volume, but also add the ability to retain more moisture. That is nature's way of creating a more rich soil environment, and generally, as a rule, a more rich environment will have the ability to retain more moisture. There are also amazing products out there on the market which can aid in the ability of your garden to retain more moisture, from water crystals, which swell up when water is present, and then as your soil type dries out, they slowly release that moisture back into the soil, to what are referred to as soil wetting granules or liquids, which are designed to break down the outer coating of soils which have become hydrophobic, which is a fancy word basically meaning the soil doesn't retain moisture. And that comes about when the tiny particles of soil have a little coating over the outside of them that literally repels water and stops that moisture from being absorbed into the soil. You can see that when you go to water a ground and the water literally just pools on the surface and runs away, almost like you've sealed a concrete and it just pools, makes little rivulets and runs away through the ground and isn't ever absorbed into the soil. It's a good sign of a hydrophobic soil, which is not generally a healthy soil. So soil wetting granules and liquids are designed to break down those coatings on the soil granules and allow your soil to retain more moisture to increase its water holding capacity, which in turn will support more life.
Okay, perfect. And what about too much water? Can we overwater? Is there too much of a good thing?
There is definitely too much of a good thing. It's really important to know what the water requirements of your garden actually are. One of the most common questions that we get asked is, how often should I water this plant? And it's an incredibly difficult question to answer because it depends on so many variables. The same plant planted in that sandy garden soil that we talk about will have a completely different water requirement to if we go and plant it in a heavy, wet, boggy clay soil. Its requirements will be completely different, even though it's exactly the same plant that started life in exactly the same way. So step one is always understand what the water requirements of the plants actually are. One of the best garden design techniques has always been try to plant things that have similar requirements together. There is no way that you can have an arid, dry garden containing lots of cacti and succulents, whilst also growing water-loving and bog-loving plants and reeds and rushes in the same spot. It's going to be very difficult to have so much variation in that water requirement. So try and group your plants together based a little on their overall requirements to ensure that your maintenance is actually going to be possible. Not only that, understand seasonality. A tropical garden in the height of summer, 40 plus degrees weather, high humidity, is definitely going to have plenty of water needed. The same garden in the depth of winter where plants aren't actively growing, it's much cooler, it's a lot more protected and the days are shorter, will have a significantly lower water requirement than the same garden space just 6 months earlier. So it's also really important to understand how your plants' requirements will change over time. A new garden will have a much higher water requirement than an old established garden, as plants, especially larger trees and well-established shrubs, as they establish over time, their roots grow and develop under the ground, and that enables that plant to access more of the natural moisture that exists in your soil. That can mean that long-term, well-established plants are a lot more drought-tolerant than newly planted gardens. So if you're starting out on your gardening journey, make sure you consider what the initial water requirements are going to be, because they can be quite high. It can be as easy as choosing to start your planting experience in the cooler weather, when the plant won't require as much moisture and is easier to establish, rather than necessarily planting out in the height of summer where water requirements can be high.
I have a question around the time of day. So in the height of summer, for example, it may or may not be an argument in my household
right. That
I prefer not to water when it's too hot because I feel like the water would attract the sun and then therefore potentially have more of a chance of burning the plant. Is that a thing?
It's not an uncommon thought that people have. You are not the first person to express this. There's a couple of answers to those questions and a couple of thoughts. The first statement is, if you have a plant that is completely bone dry, wilting and struggling from a lack of water, it really doesn't matter what the time of day is. If the plant desperately needs water, then give it some water. Don't wait another 4 to 5 hours in the hope that it improves. If your plant's at the point of wilting and struggling to live thanks to a lack of water, my best suggestion is give it some water.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, give it a thorough watering. Probably the most common mistake is that people are inclined to water very lightly in those periods of time, simply waving it or misting it around the plant, whereas the best watering that you can actually do is what we would refer to as a deep watering. So it's completely hydrating all the soil or potting media around the plant and allowing that to soak right down to the deepest and furthest roots to ensure that the plant can gain as much hydration as it possibly can from the water that you can provide.
Mm.
This deep watering technique is probably the most important watering technique that people should know, and especially important in gardens. You will find that by deep watering, you encourage roots, especially of larger trees, to develop deeper into the ground where they're more insulated. And deep watering can actually be more effective than shallow watering. It can mean that over the course of a season, you have to water less frequently and actually use less water to still adequately hydrate all your plants, because there's extra moisture present in the soil that the plant can then gain access to. As far as the time of day goes, it is a well-known fact that to water your plants late at night often causes problems. Generally, as a rule, most plants aren't photosynthesizing at night because there's no sunlight, which means they're not able to actively absorb the moisture that's applied. It can also lead to a range of fungal diseases because overnight, when the leaves are staying wet, the plant has no ability to transpire or rid itself of excess moisture, which in turn can lead to some fungal diseases and other pest and disease problems by having constantly wet foliage for hours on end.
Mm.
It does mean that overall, the best time of the day to water is early in the day. It means that there is moisture present for those plants as they begin their photosynthesis each day as the sun comes up. So especially in summer, early watering is very important. Through the cooler months, you don't have to get out of bed when it's super cold. It can just be later in the day, and you'll also find that the frequency of that watering can be lessened. The only reason that you'd be wanting to water super early in the mornings in the cool weather is if your area is prone to frost or you have particularly frost tender plants. By actually applying water early in the day, it can stop the frost from forming on the plant's foliage. It's a cheat's way of protecting from frost if you can't physically cover or protect the plant. But in areas which are not prone to frost, morning watering is always the best time, and it's the most efficient time to apply water into your garden.
I'm glad I asked that question.
There you go.
Yes, now I've learnt something, which is not uncommon when talking to you, Simon. So just how much does the garden need to be watered? If all the soil's wet, essentially, is that the marker?
That is probably one of the best markers out there. When people ask, how often should I water or when do I water my plant? The technical correct answer is when the soil starts to become dry. While there is still moisture present in the soil around the plant, it will mean that in most cases, the plant has adequate moisture to sustain itself. So different soils dry at different rates. Even the difference between soil in a garden bed environment compared to in a pot can have a huge difference in how quickly it dries out. So the same plant in different soil positions can actually have completely different water requirements based entirely on that soil type. So the technical best answer is when the soil starts to dry out, it's indicative that that is ready to be rehydrated, and that's when the plant will need more water. How frequently that soil dries out will depend on all those other factors. So check your soil, pull back the mulch in your garden bed and have a look at the soil, feel the soil, dig down into the ground and feel the moisture content that's present in your soil, and that will start to give you an indication of just how frequently your plant needs watering. If your plants are looking great and the soil showing plenty of moisture present into it, chances are you don't need to water that day. Allow that to continue and water when the soil starts to show signs of becoming dry.
Fabulous. Simon, thank you for all of your tips today.
You are very welcome.
This has been episode 5 of Digging Into Gardening. In episode 6, Simon discusses all things summer gardening. He covers how to retain nutrients during the wet season, the signs of fungal disease, and how much water is just too much. If you've enjoyed this episode and would like more information on this or other topics, visit the blog section of manawee.com.au.